Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to you. We made it. Oh. We made it through the long nightmare of the slowest sports week on the slowest sports week on the calendar, but I feel like we've had a pretty good week of shows this week. It's been a fun week, man.
This is where the internet has really paid off. It's just so many people kind of, they have good interviews that they wait to release during the slowest time of the year on podcasts and YouTube channels and whatnot. Yeah. So we had some good and entertaining content from across the sports world. You have the ESPYs. The ESPYs takes advantage of the slowest week in the sports year by doing the ESPYs. So we get a little bit of that. So everything is pretty much perfect in the world as far as I see it. As I understand it, by my consumption of what I choose to read and see, there are no problems in the world.
Puppy dogs, ice cream, rainbows. It's all good, man. It's just everything is swell. Unless you go to Coldplay concerts with your side piece and then...
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, because you sent it to me. For those of you who don't know, the CEO of a company was caught canoodling with his HR person at a Coldplay concert on the fan cam.
Yes.
And they looked immediately. Now, I didn't read into it at all. Was it just inappropriate because of the workplace relationship, or were they cheating on their spouses?
They were cheating, dude. Okay. This is where I can tell that you were not on social media yesterday, because you...
That was everything,
It was unavoidable. It was unavoidable. Seth, he's put out statements already. He put out a statement. The guy's name is Andy Byron. He's the CEO of a company called Astronomer, and he was caught on the Kiss Cam at the Coldplay concert in Foxborough with his HR, her title
nearly hired,
her
right?
title yeah, within the last year or so.
Yeah.
Her title is Chief People Officer, which made me like...
Oh, so it's one of these companies
we're
redefining what the workplace culture
had
is like, in a lot of ways.
Had a very ambassador of fun kind of feel to it, you know, like that sort
and
of
then,
title.
Were they both married?
Yes. Well, I don't know. I don't know if she is. She might be newly... He is definitely married, because his name is Andy Byron. Her name is Kristen Cabot. As Seth said, they were caught canoodling on the Kiss Cam at the Coldplay concert. Ben, we may as well jump into this right now. We've got the audio. This was Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay, as the Kiss Cam is cycling through people up there. And they, if you didn't see it, the two of them, like, he's doing that move where he's behind her, arms wrapped around waist, and they're just sort of swaying back and forth, right?
They could not have looked any happier. Like, at no point in their lives could they have been happier than they were in that moment.
Huge smiles. Kiss Cam hits them, and they scatter like somebody just dropped a grenade in the middle of the section. Like, it's distinctly scattering.
I'm so excited that you know all about this story.
Well,
I pretty much only know the video and the vague details, because this is my initial impression was this. I'm looking to see, does she have any avenue where she can say, well, I really wasn't into it? I would say no.
No.
There's no chance in hell. They were both happy as hell.
Yeah.
And immediately, they didn't look like kind of embarrassed that they were on the Kiss Cam.
No.
They showed the immediate deep shame of getting caught doing what they were doing. Well, meanwhile, being... A CEO and an HR, the head of HR, in a very public place.
Yes.
And I'm guessing probably in a suite or something, maybe with other coworkers around.
No, it wasn't in a suite. They were out in the crowd. They were up in a section in the crowd, and the Kiss Cam hits them, and this is what it sounded like. You're going to hear Chris Martin. The audio is not great, but you're going to hear him basically say, observing the two of them scattering and saying, well, that's either an affair or they're very shy. Take a listen.
Yeah.
Oh, look at these two. All right, come on. You're okay? What? Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
That sounds so much better when it comes from an Englishman.
I know. He's like, oh, what? What bloody hell? What?
Well, there's always a little bit of a, oh, they're just being mischievous, aren't they? Old chap, I know how it is.
Okay.
You'll notice Gwyneth ain't around no more. Okay, go ahead.
So real quick.
I'm fascinated by this.
Andy Byron, CEO of a privately held company, Astronomer, because one of the first things I did was once the identities were revealed, I went to the financial page to see if this affected the stock price at all on the company. They're privately held. They're a growing
I called Trajan Wealth, told him the same thing. Listen, this thing's going to drop 10 points. I want you to buy. Yeah. Buy when it gets to 9.
I told him as soon as the video came out. Clear, arbitrage.
Trajan Wealth probably would have tried to talk me out of that, but go ahead.
Yes. Andy Byron, Kristen Cabot, this is his HR chief. Sorry. Chief People Officer, got hired like a year ago. And boy, I went back and read the press release of her hire and the quotes from her. Yeah. If you can construe them into things that, you know, if you take those quotes and apply them to a situation that's basically an affair up in the crowd at a Coldplay concert, uh-huh. It's hilarious. The big thing was yesterday that he put out a statement, which I will very easily go find on the internet in a second. B, his wife, Andy Byron's wife, her name is Kerrigan Byron. Mm-hmm. She is now on Facebook just Kerrigan.
Unloading?
One name.
She's changed it.
She's
okay,
just,
okay.
She didn't even change it back. She just deleted it. She's a one-name Facebook page right now.
Man.
It's heavy stuff.
What a
mess.
I'll tell you what. They must have been blitzed out of their mind on something. Because the kiss cam is going on.
Right.
And now maybe he's a CEO type. Maybe he's just playing the odds. And he's like, I don't want to disrupt this moment for a 1 in 100 chance.
I think that's what it is. It's less than a 1 in 100. I mean, it's Foxborough. There's 70,000 people there. They're going to show maybe 30 on the kiss cam, you know?
But of those people, how many people in Foxborough were canoodling at the time and looking like prime content for the kiss cam?
Probably several, but I would take the two of them and put them up against anybody in that building as to who looked the happiest in the moment.
But let's look at risk-reward, Sean. Sometimes people don't. It's not just the percentages. It's like, okay, what is the risk of something devastating happening?
Yeah.
Like, okay, even if it's a 1 in 1,000 chance, you take that. If I'm playing that old, that hypothetical Russian roulette game, I'm not playing with a 1 in 1,000 chance of there being a live round in the chamber.
No. Yeah. This is the statement that he put out. And I apologize to anybody who saw the tease tweet that I put out last night for the show. Because I said at 6 a.m. we'd be discussing, why is Hunter Brown not starting today or in this weekend at all for the Astros?
Well, he got caught at a Coldplay concert.
That's exactly
with, an Astros employee.
And I have this slotted for later. We'll hit it again, I'm sure. This is literally the A topic. This is what I had everybody talk. They could not have picked a worse day to do this, at least in the sports world, where there's nothing else to talk about. Here was his statement. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a little long. He acknowledges that he made a mistake. Supposed to be a night of music and joy, and it turned into you know, a personal mistake that he's deeply apologetic for. This is not how I want to represent the company I helped build. I'm taking time to reflect and take accountability. I asked for privacy, and I checked to make sure that this statement was authentic. Did news outlets pick this up? It's all we got to go on these days, because there was a fake statement that came out earlier in the day where he apologized. It sounded like the whole thing sounded like he was going to apologize for the affair. He was apologizing for going to a Coldplay concert. That was pretty funny. This is what he says at the end of what people are saying is his authentic statement. I also want to express how troubling it is that what should have been a private moment became public without my consent.
Without my consent.
I respect artists and entertainers, but I hope we can all think more deeply about the impact of turning someone else's life into a spectacle. As a friend once sang, lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you. End quote.
Boy, playing the victim card.
And quoting Coldplay at the end. That's a Coldplay lyric.
You know, in a previous world, I know that part was good. Sorry, I assumed that's what it was. You know, in a previous time in America, I would have said it's a bad look for a person to play the victim card when you're a CEO or anybody else. I don't know. It's increasingly a pretty effective form of pulling people over to your side.
But he's
I don't know.
Blaming it on Kiss Cam.
I'm sure read the fine print on the back of your ticket.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
You know,
I'm sure.
I'm not going to, but I always assume it is interesting. I don't want to turn this into a serious conversation or anything. At some point, I think they got to do something about. Basically, we've lost all right to privacy anytime we're in public. Which I know people have arguments for why it shouldn't matter and everything, but you used to be able to walk around and with a reasonable expectation that as long as you were just living your life, or maybe you get in a minor disagreement with somebody, that it's not going to be blasted out to thousands of people.
Those days are over. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I just wish there's got to be. I don't want excess regulation in our lives.
No.
At the same time, I'd like to be able to I'd like to be able to go to partake of things without necessarily being blasted out to the world.
I'm 100% with you. I'm with you.
I'm not even talking about like getting caught, because people will say, well, just don't do anything. Right. All right. All right. Okay. I'm not going to get caught having an affair. I'm not going to get caught doing something illegal, but I don't want to be picking my nose and have that blasted
at
out
Target,
to the world.
I'm in the detergent aisle at Target, and I need to clean house a little bit in the right nostril.
Every single one of us is potential fodder for somebody's Instagram account.
Hey, a lot of debate as to what these two should have done in that moment. I think if they just play it cool and act like a couple, it definitely doesn't go viral the way it has. I mean,
I would hope for his sake and his future ex-wife's sake that they were already separated or something. And this will be still very embarrassing for her, but it's still, at least it wasn't a complete and total betrayal.
He wasn't acting like he was separated in that moment yesterday.
I know.
I've been separated before. Like, separated.
It was immediately the look up. And it wasn't that shy embarrassment.
Yeah,
we screwed up.
Someone who's been separated. Separated is divorced without the paperwork.
He got caught with his hand on her cookie jars.
Yes.
And it was, that was it.
Scattered. I think if the two of them just play it cool, like they're a couple, none of this happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a coworker or two that's also at the concert that happens to be looking up there for the 4 seconds that they're up there and sees them.
Yeah.
But you can always deny. They're like, no, that wasn't me. What are they going to do? Go back and get kiss cam footage from the stadium?
To make this about sports,
yeah.
The thing that I think that it would be very unlikely to happen these days as much, because everybody's under constant surveillance. I remember one of our athletic trainers, Tom Colt, with the Texans. He had worked in baseball for a little while, I believe. So I can't even remember which game it was. He knew one of the players from a visiting team. So we went. We had really nice seats. And around about the third inning or so, I just kind of glanced back to see what the concession situation was. And there was a couple, a few rows behind us, standing up, like leaning against the pillar, and they had reached third base. And
wow.
I think it was a day game, man. It just wheeled around, and I was like, Brandy, look back, but don't make it look conspicuous. And it was in the players' family section too.
Oh,
that's
dude.
Somebody was embarrassing somebody in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, that's amazing. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So that's the A topic. If you're going to a Coldplay concert or any concert with your side piece, be cognizant of the kiss cam. Really, any sporting event, be cognizant of the kiss cam.
I always feel bad for the people who get caught on the kiss cam where it looks like, oh, the woman totally doesn't want to kiss the guy.
Yeah.
And immediately everybody leaps to conclusions that, oh, she's not into him or whatever. But it could easily be that they're brother and sister, or they're as casual acquaintances or whatever. It's not a date whatsoever.
There was a video that popped up yesterday in light of all this. I'm sure it was an old video at a sporting event where there was a guy and a girl sitting next to each other. The kiss cam hit them. He immediately pulls up a sign that says, "She's my sister," with an arrow pointing to her.
I always feel like that's a plant. I always ruin your fun with that stuff.
Well, I they didn't look anything alike, but I just thought your point is accurate. It could be any number of things.
The biggest tell at NBA games, especially, there's always some, it's a Mavs fan.
Yeah.
It does something stupid or something. You're like, he's wearing a Mavs t-shirt over two other t-shirts, and I've seen this guy before.
What are you talking about? And they always get hit with birthday cake. That's fake.
Right. Yeah.
Oh man, thanks a lot, Seth. let's not talk about Christmas or anything like that. All right, and don't tell me wrestling's fake. Okay, I don't want to hear that either.
I don't say it's fake. Yeah. I say it's scripted.
Yeah. There you go. All right, we will get back to we will get to the Astros. Biggest series of the year coming up this weekend, with a huge question mark as to why a decision was made. And also, the market has been reset. Will Anderson's neighborhood a year from now potentially has been set. We will explain coming up next. I'm Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, hell yeah, Friday.
Which was a surprise to me.
As Ocho says, it's Brandon Walter Day for the Astros.
Bam.
Today is a Brandon Walter Day. Brandon Walter takes his 3.98 ERA to the mound. If someone had told me when Brandon Walter first got called up, I mean, that was back when we thought it might just be a spot start. Yeah. Someone had told me he'd have lasted a couple months and he's got a sub-4 ERA coming out of the All-Star break. I would have said, well, that's a win. That's a big win right there.
So many wins. Based on what you would have expected things to look like, the Astros pitching right now has been such a revelation, and it feels enough. I mean, we've seen hiccups here. We've seen hiccups from Hunter Brown and Fromber, more so compared to some of the other guys.
Yeah.
But they sit on, currently they're what, fifth best ERA?
Something like that.
Overall ERA on the team, or in the league.
In the league, yeah. So Brandon Walter tonight, I mean, this was an eye grabber on Twitter yesterday when Brian McTaggart tweets out the starters for this weekend series, huge series with the Mariners. Cannot overstate how big this series is to keep the Mariners at bay right now. I mean, at least win one. 1-2, they're still 4 games back. So, but the three starters this weekend, Seth, Brandon Walter, Lance McCullers on Saturday, and then Framber Valdez on Sunday. No Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
And look, nobody's spoken on this yet. Like, you know, Joe Espada has not been put in front of a microphone yet. He will today before this Mariners game. I'm sure do a scrum in the dugout or something like that, like he does before every game. I Googled Hunter Brown injury during the break in this segment just to make sure there's no breaking news, but I was a little taken aback that Hunter Brown was not, I mean, given who the opponent is, that Hunter Brown is not one of the three guys starting for the Astros in this series.
I'm a little peeved just in that there was, you know, discussion about whether or not Hunter Brown would get that final start before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted him to for a couple reasons. One, to maybe fix whatever was hurting him in his second to last start before the All-Star break, and then I also just kind of wanted him to take the All-Star game and break completely off.
Yeah.
But now with hindsight, I think I would have preferred to have had him since the Astros were on a skid anyway, headed into the All-Star break. I would have preferred that they take care of whatever might have been bothering him before that and then let him be fine now.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's nothing physical with Hunter. I hope this is just them looking at his velocity being down his last couple starts and saying, all right, well, you know what? If we can get him 7 or 8 days of rest, you know, the All-Star break is a chance to reset your rotation if you want to. That's my hope, is that, the best case scenario is they're just trying to get him more rest. I would rather have Hunter Brown pitching in this Seattle series than either Brandon Walter or Lance McCullers Jr. You know, Framber's the only one on this staff who you can reasonably make an argument that, you know, yeah, if I need a guy to go win a game, I mean, it's right now, if I need a guy to go to win a game right now with the benefit of recency bias, it's Framber Valdez and then Hunter Brown. Framber hadn't lost a game since the middle of May. He started the season 1-4. He's 10-4 now, you know?
The one thing about the Mariners have a bunch of lefties too, so that's
that's good.
That likely plays a part of it.
We like that.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's, I mean, you put, so.
Oh, your chances Brandon
Walter,
of winning.
Brandon Walter might make better, you know, makes more sense. When you're looking at lineups, you know, over the next few days, you got a bunch of lefties on the Mariners, and so between giving a little bit of extra rest to Hunter Brown and then getting Brandon Walter out there versus them today,
that makes sense. That makes sense. So, big series coming up this weekend. No Hunter Brown. I am anxious to hear Joe Espada just answer the question as to why he made this decision, but I choose to believe. And I honestly also read into just body language of headed to the All-Star game. Like Hunter Brown and Jeremy Pena both, and Josh Hader, all seemed like they were all smiles at and going to the All-Star game. I would think if there was something physical involved, Hunter might not have even made the trip if there was something physical involved.
I'm kind of glad, honestly, that the Astros have so much drama constantly and consistently about their injuries, because it makes things more interesting.
It is saucy.
You just never know. You never know what's going to happen.
It is saucy,
They are the equivalent of your buddy that's just kind of a wild card personality-wise. You never know what he's going to say.
They are the equivalent of the Bill O'Brien general manager era. Where you're like, okay, I know this isn't great, but it is interesting.
Yeah, and you never know what might pop up on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, Kerryon Conley is a Houston Texan. Wow.
There's one thing that human beings hate, it's tedium. Mm-hmm. We will do, most of the problems we create for ourselves in this life are because we're just bored and we want something to happen.
Yeah.
The Astros provide that. The Astros provide a break in that tedium for me, so I don't end up doing a bunch of stupid stuff in my personal life.
That's right. TJ Watt gets 3 years, $123 million, $108 million guaranteed. We're getting closer and closer to just all these things being fully guaranteed contracts.
This is a Nick Caserio-style contract. Honestly, I think Danielle Hunter's last couple of contracts with the Texans have probably factored into the A, team seeing that players are open to this, and then guys like T.J. Watt maybe seeing Danielle Hunter's contract and thinking, man, that short term, but it's virtually all guaranteed. Yeah. I keep that carrot on a stick in front of me. And then you always do with a long-term contract as a player, when you enter into it, if you're really using your brain, you know that if you play well over time, you're going to be underpaid.
Yeah.
And you hope that maybe you're not that guy that's going to be a distraction or belligerent about your contract or anything. But we know human nature takes its course.
Yep.
It's nice to get short-term deals with lots of guaranteed money where, hey, If I'm out playing this contract, and if salaries go up because the salary cap goes up, I got another chance in a couple of years to get a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, those old contracts that used to be, you know, if this were one of the old style deals for TJ Watt, it would have been 5 years, $180 million, but it still would have been only $108 million guaranteed. And yeah. So the team controls you for those last 2 years when there's no more guaranteed money. The only thing... One of two things can happen. You either play it out under that salary, or they come to you for a pay cut if you're aging or not playing well. The only people that benefited from those funny money years at the end with no guaranteed money were the owners.
Yeah.
The players don't benefit from those.
And it opens up the door for so much drama and stuff that just becomes either a distraction, not just to the players, but to the front office and yep. everybody else. It becomes media fodder. So I'm a big fan of contracts like this and Danielle Hunter's.
Yes. Yeah, I am too, 100%. To me, the most interesting things that mattered probably to our audience when it comes to this TJ Watt contract, the biggest one is, okay, if Will Anderson Jr. makes the leap that we all hope he makes this year, and then we know he is working to make this year, if the increase in productivity is proportional to the amount of work being put in to improve, Will Anderson Jr. is going to make a big jump this year. This is the neighborhood he's going to live in when his contract extension rolls around, right? Like 40, I'm glad, 41 yeah. million a year is what Will Anderson Jr. is going to be looking at.
I'm glad you used the neighborhood analogy, because how it worked out literally with J.J. Watt was J.J. on his rookie contract was living in Pearland.
Yes.
And yes. By the time he left Houston, he was up in the Memorial area, one of those villages out there. You
no
know?
Disrespect to Pearland. Very nice community. Yes.
Right. Yeah. He's in a non-gated community right. in Pearland, where he had at any given time various people coming up to his front door asking for autographs.
Yes.
Which is cool if it's somebody from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I got the sense that people were driving down from the Woodlands to drive up to JJ's house and ask for an autograph. Yeah.
By the end of that rookie deal, they were flying in to go to his house, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So Will Anderson Jr. and several others have got to be licking their chops. The other thing I was thinking of too, Seth, I mean, how much money has Jerry Jones cost himself by dragging his feet on Micah Parsons' contract? I mean, Micah Parsons is the level of player that should have gotten an extension over a year ago. Like, should have gotten one after his third season, you know?
Yeah.
And so, defensive player of the year, all those things. And they continue to drag their feet. Meanwhile, Max Crosby resets the market for edge rushers at 35. You allowed Cleveland to step into this whole thing and really, really bludgeon you by giving Myles Garrett a massive raise over that, up to $40 million. And now here comes T.J. Watt at $41 million. Micah Parsons is in, he's to use the word again, he's in that neighborhood. Like, the price for Micah Parsons now is going to be over $41 million. And if you allow him to hit free agency, that's what he would get probably from somebody. It's one of the most important positions on the field. You've caught, like, Jerry Jones, just by slow playing this, has cost himself at least $7 or $8 million a year on Micah Parsons.
He is so behind the times when it comes to keeping up with the way to operate an NFL team. I mean, the reason that team is relevant largely is because Will McClay, their director of personnel, is so good at drafting. But when it comes to having foresight and trying to balance everything all together, they create this dynamic where the thing that is helping them is that Will McClay is really, really good at drafting good players.
Yeah.
But then Jerry Jones drags his feet on all the things that could keep a good, solid core together. And then they get stuck in these situations where they end up doling out, at any given time, the highest contract for a quarterback, the highest contract for a wide receiver. And it's got to be infuriating for Dallas Cowboys fans. And I couldn't tell you how bad I feel for them. That Jerry is doubling down now on talking about old stuff.
Yeah.
He will not shut up about how he's the guy who created those teams in the 90s. They're doing a Netflix documentary that airs in a couple of weeks about those teams from the 90s. And the height of irony is like, yeah, remember the thing that broke up that greatness was that you couldn't get along with a dude that knew what the hell he was doing
right. And
Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
And you had to start, and you had to take control yourself. And it's the problem that has plagued you ever since.
I think, too, this should, if we're using the Micah Parsons situation as some sort of example as to how not to do things, this is where you should feel good as a Texan fan that Nick Caserio, within a week after he's allowed to give Derek Stingley Jr. an extension,
and I
know at the time it was a big jump from J.C. Horn to Derek Stingley Jr., annual average value wise, you know, J.C. Horn was the high at cornerback at 25. Nick gave Derek Stingley Jr. $30 million. Well, guess what Sauce Gardner just got this week? $30.1 million. So Nick being in early on these, Nico Collins got an extension after 3 years. God, you hardly ever see that with a third round pick that's a non-quarterback. But now look at that deal. Holy cow, the highest paid receiver in the market's Ja'Marr Chase at $40 million. Nico's getting 24. And game-to-game productivity-wise, I know the injuries, but game-to-game, Nico Collins' stats are right there with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
And I would bet dollars to donuts that come next spring, Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud will have extensions before training camp gets here.
This is what I find fascinating about this. And I saw a couple of people having a debate about this. A good debate. Both sides are making good points. But Texans cap may have been saying, hey, you know, Caserio gets in early and it ends up being a bargain within a year or two. Somebody else said, well, but he's kind of artificially setting that bar as high as it is. And then that creates a precedent where everybody is going to come after him. My response to that, and it's a good point, but my response to that is, well, who cares? It's a matter of how are you versus your peers. If you create that new market, but know that you're going to end up being a bargain based on what everybody else has to pay, you've still created a dynamic where you're paying your premier players less than other teams have to pay their premier players.
Yes.
And likewise with guaranteeing Jaden Higgins' contract. Man, really seems like it really threw a wrench in a bunch of other teams' plans because now he's set this precedent. And Nick would say, well, that's too bad. That's a shame because you know who we've got under contract? Jaden Higgins.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And, you know, maybe, hey, if we have to wait on Ariante Ursary because of this or that, fine. But we got Jaden Higgins under contract and very few other second rounders are under contract. And you guys are going to end up following my precedent to some degree.
We're going to end up talking to Nick sometime early in training camp, you and I. And it's one of the things I'm most looking forward to talking to him about. Because I don't think he's going to give a really, like, secretive answer on it. I think that it will be something along the lines of, look, we're the Houston Texans. You know, I'm doing what I think is best for the Houston Texans, and it's these deals, you know?
There is, I think, as people our age, you know, you, Nick, and I are all about the same age, give or take. And one thing that I think that Caserio and I think Belichick was really good at this in his career is adjusting your expectations about the way the business operates. And social media has just changed everything so much with contract negotiations, the internet in general. Because I think a lot of times when I grew up, when I was in the league, there's a certain element of, man, hey, on any given team, no matter who you are in the league, no matter how good you are, there's going to be a bunch of disgruntled players that hate the coach or whatever, no matter who he is. And yet, it didn't matter. Whereas now, the capacity for drama has just been raised so much because of social media and everything else. There's a premium. You can pay a premium just to kind of avoid a lot of the drama.
The fans are way more knowledgeable about it. There's just so much more information available, and we're getting pelted with the every detail of every negotiation. You're absolutely right. All right, let's get to headlines. We'll circle back to the Astros' big series this weekend. A big signing, at least I would imagine a nostalgic one for one fan base in the NBA. A few other items that we'll get to in headlines. That is coming up next. Stay there.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, we got sports again. The All-Star break is over. The Astros are back in action. They are out in Seattle getting ready to take on the Mariners in a three-game set this weekend. The starting pitchers for the Astros this weekend will be in order. Brandon Walter tonight, Lance McCullers Jr. tomorrow night, and then Sunday afternoon, Framber Valdez. No Hunter Brown in this three-game set. He's getting some extra rest here. We'll see if that equates into seeing the old Hunter Brown. The last couple starts, I say the old Hunter Brown, it's been two starts where he's not been very good. This is a sneaky big series, Seth. Got to take at least one and kind of keep them at arm's distance here, the Mariners. If this is anything like the week leading into the All-Star break, if we come in on Monday and it's a two-game lead, we're in for an exciting July and August at least, but I'd rather it not be that exciting when it comes to the division. I'm more about chasing the Tigers at the top right now.
I'd love to think that way. Yeah. Whether it's because the Astros played down to the level of the competition or just because they've had AAA players all over the place as of late, it's menacing. Yeah. This division is menacing enough, despite what your healthy lead is, because we've seen these various teams chasing the Astros be the teams that collapse after having a healthy lead within
yes.
the division.
Yeah.
So getting the starting pitching back healthy, getting the bullpen to continue to be such a pleasant surprise in so many ways, and just flat out staying healthy. If you could just get two things, Sean, this is all I want. I want 2/3 of the guys on the IL to come back, and I want Christian Walker to start looking like some historical version of himself.
Yeah, I don't think these are unreasonable requests. Well, that will be the other thing that we're watching later today is what exactly activities is Jeremy Peña doing? He should be back. I guess, Dana Brown said, look, we're kind of taking it slow, but he could be the first one back off of the IL out of all these guys. So that'll be a report to watch. I have two things for today. Joe Espada answering Hunter Brown questions for me. If I were in that media scrum out in Seattle, that'd be my first question. Why is Hunter Brown not starting in the most important series of the year? And number two, what is Jeremy Peña doing today in, pregame baseball activities?
I expect Espada's answer to be a combination of we wanted to get him a little extra rest and the Mariners have a boatload of lefties and switch hitters. Yeah. So we wanted to get a couple of lefties out there in this series in these next three games.
Yeah, and I hope that's what it is. That would be the best case scenario. We mentioned it in the previous segment. We'll mention it again because it's going to matter to Texan fans a year from now. TJ Watt, 3 years, $123 million, $108 million guaranteed on an extension from the Steelers. So his whole methodology of throwing up the deuces on Instagram a few months back and staying away from the team during activities this offseason, it worked. He got his deal. He's the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history with this deal in terms of the new money that he's getting on his existing contract. The reason I bring up the Texans is because Will Anderson Jr. is probably, if Will Anderson Jr. is what we think he can be in year three, this is the neighborhood that his contract is going to land, give or take, next season. He's going to get an extension next year, barring injury. Where will it fall? This at least gives sort of a benchmark for him to be shooting for next year.
You know, and I think by and large, if I were to gauge any given fan base, when it comes down to the actual numbers, I don't think people get too worked up about it, but what they want more than anything is, hey, here's a player that I really like. I'd like him to stick around and be healthy, happy, and productive for us. And as long as your team's not in salary cap trouble, it just feels like, hey, just pay the man. And I don't worry about whether or not the Texans can or will pay guys like Will Anderson and CJ Stroud.
No, I don't either. This is why you made the splash that you did on draft night in 2023, was to have decisions like this to be made. This is a good problem to have if you're the Texans that we're having discussions about, is Will Anderson deserving of a contract, or will he be? He's not right now, obviously, but will he be deserving of a contract that TJ Watt just got? You moved up in the draft to have these very conversations 3 years from that day.
And I think that if we go in the Wayback Machine to Mario Williams and the fact that the Texans, it's not that the Texans didn't like Mario Williams. They just felt it had gotten to a point that when he was a free agent that they couldn't keep the full team together as much as they'd like to if they also paid him the market rate. So if you go back 2 years prior and if you had extended him when it would have been more manageable and give a lot of the deals that Nick has been doling out is a little bit shorter term, more guaranteed money, then maybe you could have that those two that 2011, 2012, 2013 defense, they were good defenses.
Yeah.
But it's not like they couldn't have been better if they'd been able to keep Mario Williams.
No, it's a shell game, man. You got to make decisions like that. That team chose to splurge in free agency on Jonathan Joseph and Daniel Manning. They chose to pay D'Amico Ryans. They chose to pay Owen Daniels. They ultimately chose to pay Arian Foster, extend Matt Schaub. The casualties in that were we had to let Mario Williams walk. We had to cut Eric Winston. You know, Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud are going nowhere. They will be here long term. I feel pretty confident in that. So, in basketball, the big news yesterday, Damian Lillard going back to Portland after getting released by the Milwaukee Bucks with $100 million still left on his deal. They're stretching a ton of money over their cap over the next 5 years in Milwaukee to accommodate the release of Damian Lillard. He re-signs with Portland. Now, he's coming off an Achilles injury, so it's going to be a while before he plays. 3 years, $42 million to go back to Portland. I would imagine Trailblazer fans are over the moon about this. Lillard is one of the most popular players in the history of that franchise, and even though you're getting him an aging, coming off Achilles version of Damian Lillard in the NBA, 3 years, $42 million. That's a mid-level exception right there.
I can go back to hating Damian Lillard again now, though, too, because the emotional scars and the PTSD of his last second shot will never forget.
It's
fresh again. It's fresh. Those wounds have been opened up.
0.9 seconds. 0.9 seconds. We'll never forget.
You know, my weird version of dyslexia is that in my mind, it's always 0.6 seconds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your dyslexia flips things upside down, huh?
I wasn't saying it because I know that I can never do it right. Nah, not when I'm reading or anything. It's only on the Damian Lillard shot.
Yeah.
I always remember 0.6.
Yeah.
But then I remember, like, wait a second. I don't think that's right. So I'm glad that you said it.
No problem.
0.9.
No problem. Drew Brees will be doing booth work on one of the Netflix Christmas Day games. It was reported
as a carpenter
yesterday. Yeah, he's coming in. He's doing drywall.
On the booth. Yeah,
he's doing drywall during the game. The two games on Christmas on Netflix are the Cowboys at the Commanders and the Lions at the Vikings. They haven't determined which game yet. I find this interesting just because when Drew Brees was doing color when he was a color analyst for NBC several years ago, one of his gigs was Notre Dame, so I got him for a season at Notre Dame football. He was not very good.
Really?
Yeah, no, he was not. I mean, there's a reason he hasn't been doing it for a couple of years. Yeah, he's too uptight. He doesn't pop. He doesn't cut through. And for somebody who I think is, I would imagine Drew Brees is one of the smartest players of this generation just based on playing quarterback the way he played it. I wasn't learning a lot from Drew Brees in watching those games.
He might be a lot more comfortable, A, having had the experience, but also B, the college game is so much different than the NFL game when it comes to what you can do as a color commentator.
Yeah.
Because the pace of play is so much faster in college.
Yeah.
You really don't.
Yeah.
As a color commentator, you don't have that much time to really talk between plays in college. Where in the NFL, A, he's more familiar with the modern NFL game, and B, he's got time to maybe do some of those stuff that you were hoping for. I thought Brady got a lot better as the season went along.
I did too.
You know?
I'm not somebody who I'm not one of these people like that start with all these guys. It starts with, well, they're going to suck. They got to prove themselves. I'm open to being entertained and informed, you know, like I'm hoping for good things. I agree with you. Tom Brady got better as the season went on last year.
Because everybody was all upset that, well, Greg Olsen is actually a better commentator, et cetera, et cetera. The first year Greg Olsen was in the booth, I did not like him at all.
Right.
I thought he said some really good things, but he's a guy that got a lot better over the course of his first few years, except he didn't have the pressure and the scrutiny of Tom Brady.
Correct, or the salary for that matter.
Yeah, that's a big one, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Those are your headlines for today. All right, we talked earlier this week about it, the series quarterback on Netflix, Jared Goff, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins. It was a decent cast. I ended up liking all of them. I don't know that I want to like the guys that are on this series. If we were putting this together, we were casting this coming season, the 2025 season of quarterback, what three quarterbacks would we pick? What would you pick? Text in 713-572-4610. Which three would you want to see on this Netflix series? We'll do that coming up next. Stay there.